Welcome to yet another episode of Innovation Odyssey. I promise you, this will be very interesting. I have with me from San Francisco, from literally the other part of the world, Panya Cheng, who is the founder and CEO of Stara App. You can't see him, but he is waving. I'm very happy to have you with me, Panya. How are you?
Hey, Renu. I'm doing great. Beautiful day. And good to be on your podcast and catch up with you.
Okay. I always ask my guests, who are they? What do they do? A nice 30-second elevator pitch.
Yeah, so I'm Panya. As Rina mentioned, I'm the founder and CEO of Stara, which is an AI-powered astrology app that focuses on matchmaking and dating. And I'm also a part-time actor. Sort of like a hobby that I fell into, but now I've got like a talent agency I'm a part of and doing some stuff. So that's what I do. But basically, I'm a serial entrepreneur and I like to go after impossible ideas.
You are my friend.
Yeah. We got to know each other through this accelerator that I did with my previous tech startup. It's one that, called Medyear, that help people get their medical records.
Okay. So that's a whole wide range. Medical records, dating app, actor, I love it. But I'm going to pick on each. Or, you know, let's talk about each of it because we all have multiple personalities. So this app, the Stara app, what differentiates it from the many other dating apps?
The thing that most differentiates it is its ability to accurately predict what the relationship between two people is going to be like. So if you match with somebody on Stara, we give you this relationship compatibility prediction, and it's very accurate. We also have a new feature that's also quite special and unique. So unique, in fact, that I think we're going to get a patent on it. And this new feature is for matchmaking. And what Stara will do is it'll help you figure out what your ideal relationship will look like in three words. Like, what are three words to describe your ideal relationship? For me, it's like stable, communicative, and nurturing. For you, Renu, it might be something else because, you know, you and I are different, right? We're unique people. So the first thing we do is actually figure out what is right for you. And then we go and find that person who's right for you through matchmaking. So we actually go and preemptively match you with everybody on Stara. And then we look at the astrology to figure out what the relationship will be like. And we look for those things that are, you know, important for you and for your fulfillment in a relationship. Those, you know, in my case, again, it would be like stable, engaging, and nurturing. So we're going to look for the most stable, engaging, and nurturing relationships for me. And that's a new feature that we are currently working on, but it's pretty much almost done. So that would be the second big differentiator. And then once it hits the market, then like there's no other app that can do that except Stara that can actually go find you your ideal relationship.
So the three characteristics that you mentioned, does the input come a little bit from the person who's using it as well?
Optionally, yes. Like, you can use our suggestions or you can come up with your own. So, you know, like what we do is for our suggestions is we look at your astrology. Like, okay, given the type of person that you are and your personality and what moves you in love and romance, what type of relationship would you need, right? What's most fulfilling and ideal? So we give you those three suggestions, but you don't have to accept that. You can change it. It's, you know, you got different relationship goals for where you are at this point in your life. That's fine. Just, you know, change stable to passionate, change engaging to adventurous, you know, whatever. It's up to you. But you know, we offer the ability to start with our suggestions simply because a lot of people haven't thought about what they really want or need. Some people might even have cognitive dissonance about what they want or need. They think they want one thing when actually deep down they want something else. Plus, also, there's this whole cultural zeitgeist going on about, you know, where pop culture tells you what you should want. Like, you know, looking for a man in finance, trust fund, 6'5", blue eyes. Like, it's a thing. People think that, you know, that's what they should have. But that doesn't equate to, you know, relationship fulfillment, obviously. So, yeah, I mean, we think that having, you know, some suggestions is going to be helpful for some people who haven't even bothered to think about what they might truly want in a relationship.
I don't have to ask you this, but you do believe in astrology.
Yeah, I do. I learned about astrology like over a decade ago. I got a reading and I was like, wow, I was so blown away by how accurate it was. It was like looking in the mirror. It was a reading, you know, it was a natal chart reading. So I learned about myself and I was like, how can they figure out all this stuff from just my time and place of birth? You know, it defied logic. Like, how could you know so much about me in such, you know, in such detail with such accuracy from just like a couple data points? So I, you know, thus began an interesting journey of more and more discovery and research into astrology. And I became one of those people who applied it in my dating life. Like, you know, those people that when you date somebody for a while, eventually they go, hey, can I get your time and place of birth so I can plug it in to an astrology prediction site? I became one of them, obviously. But it's a thing now. Like, it's very common, actually, for people to use astrology as you know, as a reference point for dating or even to guide their dating. So, I mean, we're definitely not the only astrology-based dating app on the app stores. There's many of them. Yeah, I mean, it's just a reflection of the growing interest in astrology. I mean, the astrology market has grown. Like, the Washington Post had this statistic that they said the astrology market was around $2.2 billion in 2018, and in 2021 it jumped to like $12 billion. It grew like 6x in 3 years. So it's growing very fast. I think, you know, it's kind of having a resurgence right now, but it's been around for 4,000 years. There's ancient wisdom there, like, you know, and many cultures adopted, not, you know, of course, in the West, we have our thing, but, you know, India has Vedic astrology and China has Chinese astrology. So it's been around, and the reason it endures is because it works. It's accurate. You know, if you do it correctly, it tells you what you need to know.
So what is it about time and location that is so indicative of so many things?
Well, it's unique. Generally, it's unique to you. Like, it's a unique imprint on you, much like a fingerprint or your iris. Nobody else really has the same exact time and place. I mean, maybe twins or whatever, but basically it's, you know, you were born at a unique time and place. And the sky at night, with the time you're born, the night sky and the stars, the arrangement of the stars is thus unique. From that time and place. You know, like an analogy I would use is, let's say you're on the market to buy a house. Well, no house has exactly the same view, you know, because it's like specific, one specifically here, one specifically there. Even, you know, just the location matters. And of course, time matters as well. So I think it's, you know, kind of God's way of imprinting us with some unique, you know, astrological blueprint. That's my perspective.
The app is inclusive. If you are like a lesbian couple or you are a gay couple looking for love.
Yeah, we keep it real simple. So we have, like, you know, we have three genders, male, female, and non-binary. And you can choose what you want to look for. Are you a man? Do you want men? You know, you just like men and I'm looking for men, you know, whatever. It's up to you. So you choose your gender, you choose your sexuality preference.
And what about other relationship statuses like polyamory, open? Because they suppose that there are multiple relations, right? And that there isn't one. So if someone is in that kind of a setup, can they still be successful using your app?
Possibly, yeah. I mean, we don't have any restriction against relationship status, but we also don't, like, we don't make it like a prominent feature of your profile either, like what you're looking for. I mean, there are other apps that are specifically for people looking for those types of situations, right? So it's we view it as kind of like, you know, make the connection and you guys figure it out. Eventually you're going to have the conversation of, well, hey, actually I'm poly, you know, is that cool with you? And if it's not, okay. You know, it's not something that has to be prominently announced, because, you know, I think but it is relevant, I think, to people's, you know, overall dating journey, but it can be something you put in your bio. It can be, like, you know, something you just talk about. And, you know, so this is just so we don't distract away from Stara's core mission, which is to focus on, you know, like, this notion of ideal relationships, you know, more fulfilling relationships in whatever form they take. Like, you know, if you can have fulfilling relationships in a polyamorous way, great. Okay.
And you also certainly focus on the soulmate part.
Yeah, it's interesting, the soulmate thing. we're also the only app that can do this. This is something I forgot to mention about why we're unique is some people believe in soulmates and this notion of like, well, maybe we knew each other in a past life, or maybe you're in my life now to kind of guide me in a particular direction or nudge me towards my destiny. So really a soulmate is somebody who is connected to you on a spiritual level. Now, interestingly, astrology, it's a spiritual tool. It's, you know, a soulmate is like a cosmic concept, right? Cosmic love, as Taylor Swift would say. Well, astrology is a cosmic tool. So obviously astrology has a way of picking up on soulmates. It has to do with this thing called the axis of destiny, north and south node. And if you can, like, you know, if you can see some stuff going on there between the couple, there could be some spiritual elements to it, depending on whether it's, you know, north node or south node. So, yeah, star, you know, because it reads the astrology, if it sees something there, it'll say like, oh, there's some soulmate stuff here, or, you know, soulful connection, spiritual connection, karmic connection, past life connection. These are the types of things that, you know, simply just reading the astrology as astrologers have done for centuries.
How many uses do you have?
We have around 150 so far. And it's growing every few days. We get new people. Our friend Charlie just signed up, by the way, yesterday.
Yes, that's good.
Yeah, Charlie, he's building out his star profile. You know, he's trying to see who's else is on the app. He was impressed, actually, by you know, just even though it's only 150, there, you know, there's some interesting people there.
Yeah, I mean, the UI is pretty fancy. I like it.
Thank you. Thank you.
It's very clean, and it's that's good. Do you have a current geographic concentration? That's the West Coast or the East Coast?
Not really. I mean, we astrology is believed all over the world. You know, in many cultures, sometimes the type of astrology differs in different cultures. Like, for example, in India, they may believe in Vedic, or China, they may believe in Chinese horoscopes. But so where Western astrology is like kind of like a prominent belief set, you know, particularly in U.S., South America, and Europe, that, you know, that's where we would just be available. We don't really restrict it. But yeah, I think there are certain key geographies that are out there that we focus on just as a company, you know, those are primarily New York and Los Angeles in the United States, just because a lot of people believe in astrology there. It's just where people actually use astrology in these cities to date. Like it's very common to get the question, like, hey, where and when, like what time were you born and where in these cities when you try to date someone. So yeah, I mean, I think we are available to anybody who believes in Western astrology. Just, you know, because the app store is global and, you know, we're just an app you can download from anywhere. And currently it's only available in English. One thing we discovered is that our AI astrologer, we call her Baba Bliss, that's inside the dating app, she can, she's multilingual. So you can ask her questions in, you know, Spanish, Portuguese, French, whatever, and she'll answer. So even though the actual app interface is English only, you can have, you know, multilingual interactions inside the app.
When did you start working on Stara?
About 2 years ago. The company formally was founded in February of 2023. And the first year was just kind of like figuring, you know, what is it, and building some, you know, some prototypes and iterating. And then getting it out on the app stores and all that.
Do you, you would want to expand to other countries, right?
We have a plan to localize the app into both Spanish and French. So we have, you know, the interface as well in multiple languages. And then also recognizing that there are geographies that do believe in astrology, but they use a different type of astrology. We'd also want to kind of adapt, kind of like a local version. Like for example, in India, they use Vedic astrology. So, you know, we'd have to come up with the same thing, but with, you know, a different underlying astrological system. I think India is obviously a huge, huge place because, you know, they use astrology for matchmaking. Like that's how you get married is through the astrologers.
You know, I was listening to you and I was like, this is just like growing up in India. The astrologer takes your date of birth and your location and your time, and then you're matched.
Yeah, and you have a husband or a wife.
Exactly.
It's remarkable. And it's been going, I mean, this is a centuries old tradition, right? It keeps perpetuating, I guess, because people find it valuable and it works to some extent. So India has a 1.5% divorce rate compared to 43% in the United States. I don't know if it's all the astrology. Maybe it's also cultural norms that, you know, divorce is not generally accepted. But nonetheless, the whole thing starts with astrology. And, you know, the outcome is a 1.5% divorce rate, which is pretty remarkable.
Are you funded from revenues or is it investors, angels?
At the moment, it's just investors. We don't have any revenue yet.
Okay.
We will soon, I think, because we're going to charge for this new matchmaking feature. It's very powerful. Like, it's just like, you know, it's just like getting a matchmaker, like in India or wherever. Just, oh, here's the person you should be with. Go do it. Go be with them and, you know, have fulfillment. So that's something people actually pay professional matchmakers for. Like, and professional matchmakers are very expensive. Mm-hmm. They'll cost like up to thousands of dollars per date. So, you know, we think there's a shift away from like dating apps and more into matchmaking. So our matchmaking feature will be something that'll be available for people who don't want to get a professional matchmaker and rather just use an astrology tool. And so we'll charge for that. So revenue is forthcoming, but yeah, currently we only have, we've been funded through angel investors to date.
What drew them to invest? And the only reason I ask is because it's something that is very different from what an angel investor invest in, as I know. What was the reason?
The general reason is they saw the app and they saw a demo of what it can do. That, you know, I give a demo and I say, okay, this is the app. Sometimes they just see how, like you said, how beautifully designed it is. Like, wow, I would use this app. Like, I just like the way it looks. I like the way it works. Some people just like the app and just, you know, want to participate in something that's like well executed. Then others have seen the demo with the astrology, like, you know, getting readings. Like, okay, this is a reading about me and, a former partner. And they're like blown away by the accuracy. So like, I can see how this would be so helpful to so many people. And, you know, so the accuracy from the demos is also a major selling point. Yeah, that's generally it. I mean, the investors, they see an opportunity, I think, as well with the fact that, there's a lot of people that believe in astrology. Like I mentioned, the market grew 6x in 3 years. And it's about like 25% of women, Gen Z and LGBT believe in astrology. It's a pretty significant chunk. Actually, I'm sorry. It's about 20-25% overall. And it's like 40% women, like 30-something% women, 30-something% Gen Z, 30-something% LGBT. But nonetheless, it's a big group of people, and there isn't really like a dominant astrology-based dating app. So considering this is actually a system that people use to date, why is there not a big, like, you know, what's the big astrology-based dating app? You know, like for the LGBT community, of course, you know, Grindr, right? And then there's like specific subgroups, for other things, right? But astrology is a big dating, like, it's a big field of, like, of dating. People use it to date. So there should be a big astrology dating app, and there isn't. So I think people, you know, the investors see an opportunity. They're like, well, there should be one, and then there isn't. And there is competition. There are some, you know, tools out there. Like I said, there are other astrology-based dating apps out there, but none of them really taken off. So, you know, I think there's a gap in the market. And it's a pretty, even though it's a niche market, it's a pretty big niche, right? Like 20-ish% of the public. And the other thing that I think is a bigger, you know, market, overall market trend that should get investors excited is dating apps are kind of failing right now. People are getting tired of them. They, you know, they caused a lot of problems. And we all know why. I don't want to get into that. But nonetheless, people are kind of fed up with dating apps. So the real focus, I think, is people are moving away from dating apps and moving more into matchmaking. They want more of like a guided and curated experience. So that's where I think, you know, we could also, that's where one of the other big bets that our investors are making is that there's going to be a shift away from dating and more into matchmaking, you know, using some form of guidance rather than just haphazardly just swiping right and wishing for the best.
Do you think you would apply the principle of astrology from dating to, say, startup founding?
Yeah, you can. You can, absolutely. So the field of astrology that studies relationships is called synastry. And it looks at two people and how they interact. Now, the main use case for this type of analysis is for dating and love and relationships of a romantic sort, but you can use it for other reasons. You know, you can actually do the same, you know, exercise, but, you know, just don't look at it from a romantic lens. Just look at it from a career and work lens. It works for that reason too. You know, I think in any situation like a marriage or starting a company together, you do need to understand the chemistry. And, you know, I think that's where astrology can be very valuable, because these are long-term relationships that could crush your soul if they go south, you know, destroy your life, crush your soul, or, you know, give you tremendous success and uplift you and, you know, all that. So the range of like implications on your life is very significant with these types of relationships. So any additional bit of information or guidance, I think, could be very helpful.
Have you come across naysayers?
Men in particular don't believe in astrology as much as women. So you'll kind of come across more naysayers with men who just, you know, they don't believe in it. Then you've got people who knock astrology. There's quite a number of people who just don't believe in astrology. They think it's, you know, garbage, or, you know, it's all just made up or whatever. And of course there's been numerous attempts to do scientific studies, you know, debunking astrology. And so, yeah, you'll see it among kind of like the very science heavy crowd that are very like empirically driven, and, you know, they come at things from like a pure science and, you know, rationale and scientific method standpoint. They don't believe in astrology. Yeah. I think there's those people, you know, people who just generally don't believe in it. They're obviously not in a position to really embrace it. I think it takes an open mind to say, well, what is this thing that people have believed in for 4,000 years, and why is it so accurate? Like, you know, if it wasn't accurate, it wouldn't have been wouldn't have been around for this long. It just, you know, it has a huge following because it works. And you know, I think you know, for this type of open mindedness, you might need, you know, a bit of a leaning towards a spiritual view on life, you know, like maybe not everything we can see and understand is available through science or our senses, or we know fully or fully understand yet. There's more out there, if you will. So I think, you know, that's our crew. That's our people, the people who have that, you know, willingness to explore these more, you know, these more nebulous questions, you know, grounded in spirituality. So I think there are quite a few detractors, but there's also a huge number of people who do believe in it, like overwhelmingly. Like, if people believe in it, they love it, they use it, you know, and they don't care. They don't care about the detractors. They see the value in it.
Is your family, because I assume your parents are maybe from a different country, do they believe in it?
They use the Asian version. To some extent, the Asian, you know, Chinese horoscopes are more based on 12-year cycles rather than 12-month cycles. So yes, I think my family is kind of spiritually inclined, and they believe in it, but they aren't really practitioners. It's one thing to just kind of believe in it, but to be a practitioner, you actually have to be able to produce readings and you know, analyses. So I think, you know, they're like most people, they're just consumers of it, but for their particular worldview, which is the Chinese horoscopes, you know, and so it has, I guess, influenced me in a bit, just to have like a family who's generally open-minded about these types of things. There is, you know, these horoscopes exist, and yeah, this year could be a bad year for you, or this year could be a good year for you, that kind of thing.
So is that like a conversation that actually happens at the table?
Well, yeah, I mean, so my grandma is what you might call a practitioner.
Aha.
So she has a like a fortune telling book that's based on the Chinese astrology, and so yeah, various family members go to her for readings. So I think that, yeah.
Did you?
Yeah, I've gone to her for readings. So yeah, I think that's, yeah, it's something we do talk about, you know, and people go to the grandma for their readings. So I guess I'm the other practitioner in the family now. But of course, in Star, we use a Western astrology system, not Eastern.
You also mentioned two other things in the beginning, that you have another startup, which is in health, looks at health records. You want to talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, so Medyear was my first company that I founded over a decade ago. And, you know, much like Stara and this idea of finding people their soulmates and, you know, ideal relationships, Medyear started off with like this high ideal of, well, it's my body. I should have control over my own health records. You know, it was sort of just like there was like a lot of moral outrage and a lot of people being injured by not having your medical records, because when you need to tell people what's going on with you and you don't have it, or scattered all over the place, it becomes a big mess. So yeah, I set out to, you know, help address the problem. And yeah, so we founded Medyear, and along the way, you know, we had to build the tools to do all this, to grab your medical records from different hospitals and then put it in one place. And then we also had to help get the laws passed to make this thing a reality, because, you know, the healthcare industries, they don't like to change, and you have to, you know, force them to do stuff they don't want to do. So the only way to do that is to change the law. So Medyear was involved in, you know, lobbying for important health reforms like the 21st Century Cures Act. I actually demoed to Congress to help get this act passed. And so, you know, once we had the technology and now the laws were ready, then you know, we actually accomplished that mission of giving people control over all their medical records. And so now they have it in one place. But I stepped down as CEO in 2020 during the pandemic, because I was like, "Ah, it's a good time to just let somebody else take over." Things were going well for a while. You know, I gave them the keys and I was just chairman of the board. But now Medyear is in M&A mode. We're trying to exit.
Well, that's always a good place to be, huh? You're working on your next idea, which is you're passionate about. And the first thing that you found is on its way to being.
Yeah, yeah. The passion, I think, is different this time around. Like, it's a topic I'm more passionate about. I think in my first entrepreneurial venture, Medyear, I was passionate about solving a problem, but I wasn't really like a healthcare person. Like, I'm not a doctor.
What's your background? School.
Well, I studied political science in college and in grad school.
Okay.
And then I worked in government for a while. Then I moved into strategy consulting for Deloitte. Okay. Then I moved more into the tech world and, you know, and all that. So yeah, like none of that is healthcare. I never worked in a clinic. I don't own a stethoscope. I've never given anybody a shot. Like, I'm not really a healthcare practitioner, but coming from a government background, I saw like a pretty serious problem that I think, you know, needed some kind of a solution. And I saw that there would have to be like some government play or element to it. So I thought, well, okay, well, I have a unique background because I understand tech and I know how the government works. So maybe I could do it. And yeah, so yeah, luckily we were successful in getting, you know, getting these health reforms done and, you know, getting the company to be out there, you know, launch some products and have customers using it. So, but this time around with Stara, there is a lot of passion for the nature of the topic itself. I'm like, I'm just into astrology. Like, it's something I'm way more interested in than like medical stuff, you know. Like, I read horoscopes more than I read medical journals. So for me, it's like, okay, now I learned how to do this entrepreneur thing after, like, you know, doing some really hard stuff for a decade. So I feel confident that, you know, I could take on another challenge, but let the challenge this time be something I'm really like truly into. And, you know, as a result, I think the Star product is even better because you see like my fingerprints in it. Like, I'm really into making it the best and, like, you know, having it be beautiful and all that. So, you know, when you really care about the topic itself, like, you're passionate about the topic, it's something you obsess over, then I think, you know, sometimes it gets even better results, you know.
Yeah, I'm hoping for that. You also mentioned you are an actor.
Yes. Yes.
What do you do?
I'm a professional actor. I'm represented by a Hollywood talent agency. I do theatrical and commercial stuff. So you might see me on commercials or you might see me in like TV or film. My whole thing is I got discovered a couple of years ago. It just randomly, I was just in LA for a friend's event and I just happened to strike up a conversation with somebody who was an agent. and the Asians are in demand. We really need more Asian actors. And I had been an actor as a kid. I did some little stuff, you know, in a local market, the Dallas market. Nothing you would have really seen. But, you know, at least I knew what acting was and I had some training, right? So I told this agent, hey, you know, I can act. I've done it before. So, you know, we worked it out. Like they set me up with an IMDb account and then
okay,
got
we
me out
looked
on auditions.
Yes.
Yeah. So now I'm going out. I've done some really interesting auditions and I've gotten close to some pretty big roles. And I recently just did a short film recently. But acting is basically a hobby that I would like to just do more of, because there's nothing quite like the experience of being on set. Being on set is amazing. It's like, you know, there's a lot of people focused, like all their attention and focus is on this like 10-second thing. You know, it's like little clip, this little scene, it's so short, but all of this attention, all these wires and lights and camera gears all focus on this tiny detail that happens in 10 seconds. And you just do it over and over again, scene after scene after scene. And, you know, you perform and you live out, you know, these imaginary lives. It's just, it's like so cool to go out there and, you know, just be a different person. And then, you know, then you got this whole crew around you that's focused on you being that different person. So it's a hobby that I'm just really into. And I'm very grateful and lucky to have, you know, such a great team. Like my agency's great, because my story is pretty unusual. Like people would kill to have an agent in Hollywood, you know. I just sort of stumbled into it. Yep. Oh, you need Asians? I can do it.
Oh, that is awesome. Which leads me to my next question, which is like I ask, sorry, all my guests, are you an entrepreneur or an innovator? Are you both?
My mindset is an innovator mindset. And my personality is more of an entrepreneur personality. So I'm kind of both, but I'm not going to do anything just to be an entrepreneur. Like I'm going to do something innovative. I'm going to do something the world doesn't have yet, right? That's to me just like, you know, if I just wanted to be like a CEO or just build a piece of thing, sell it, to me, that's not that interesting. I want to do something new, unique, because I think that's my contribution to the world, right? Also, as an artist, I want to do something interesting and unique, right? Instead of just something that other people have done. So my mindset is to be entrepreneurial, but to do something highly innovative. Otherwise, you know, it's not something I would do. But yeah, my overall personality is, even though I worked in corporate for a solid decade and had some success there, I think my personality is more of just like, I'm somebody who wants to, you know, chart my own path. I have a lot of faith in my path. It's unique to me. Nothing wrong with, you know, high-paying corporate jobs or whatever, or even other types of entrepreneurship. But I kind of knew early on that I'm kind of like a bit of a unique dude, and my path was going to be unique to me. So for that, I need to be, you know, able to chart my own path and, you know, direct my own destiny. So my personality is 100% entrepreneurial, and but it's going to be for the stuff that that most excites me, which is stuff that's new, that's never been done before.
And wrapping up, what is your vision for Stara for the next 2 to 3 years?
Well, I think we'd obviously grow and start seeing a lot of cool success stories of people who fell in love on Stara. You know, probably expand into new geographies and all that. I think the success stories of people that fell in love and star will be that'll be our legacy. That's the thing that I'm most proud of, is this thing worked. You told me it was going to be great. I took a leap of faith. You know, I may not even believe in astrology, but I took a leap of faith because you said it was going to be great, and it turned out great. Like those are success stories that, you know, we desperately need in today's world. Like dating and relationships are in steep decline. I recently saw a study that said about 25% of Americans are expecting to be single for the rest of their life. Like a quarter of the country is just going to be like single only. You know, it's sad. And we have a loneliness epidemic. And I think that dating apps are largely to blame for some of this. So, you know, the idea is to try to reverse that trend with something that can deliver what people ultimately want, which is, you know, love and a fulfilling relationship. So yeah, that's the vision, is to make love a thing again, reverse the downward trend, and, you know, make love and relationships on the upswing again. Otherwise, we face big problems as a society with, like, loneliness epidemic, declining birth rates. You know, love is one of the main reasons why we're alive, and it's what perpetuates the human race, and it is also one of the highest experiences we can experience as human beings. So, you know, of course, it's hard in today's environment to find love, because, you know, relationships are tough. A lot of people have been run through. A lot of people have, you know, a lot of biases against what they don't want, or, you know, or misconceptions or whatever about what they might, what they do want. So, yeah, it's tough right now to find love. And so our vision and what we're doing is to get you there with the right information. And, you know, the rest is up to you. We can tell, I mean, you, you know, we can guide you. We can say, yeah, this person can be good for you, but free will also has a lot to do with it. So, you know, we're doing our best. We're doing our part to provide, you know, accurate and useful insights, and, you know, to have a cool collection of people, like-minded people to date from. So, you know, we'll see in 2 or 3 years, we'll see how we do on all that.
Well, I am rooting for you. And as always, I root for love.
And yeah, we should. That's one thing we got to root for. Yes. Otherwise, humanity's done.
Exactly.
It's like one of the Maslow's hierarchy of needs too. You know,
exactly.
In our lives.
Yes. Fantastic. On that very, very hopeful note, thank you, Panya.
Thank you, Renu. It was so much fun.